Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh,
this is a two-bit party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Hey, 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 people, it's your girl, Leshy Lush, man. What's going on? What's going on, man? It's far too many people going through so many different things, and they're locked away, and there's a lot of issues that get swept under the rug. Tonight, we're going to talk about issues because, you know, we talk about issues, we bring them to the forefront. So we have some amazing, amazing, amazing guests tonight. Our topic today is domestic violence. We're talking about exit plans. Phone numbers, a plan of action, warning signs. We're going to be talking about so many different things, so I want you to call in, share your story. It happens to people on an everyday basis. It even happens to teenagers, you know, and, you know, they deal with domestic violence. And then also the children that are the product of domestic violence, the things that they deal with. You know, we're going to have some amazing people live on the show. Don't forget to call in at 213-943-3705. We're going to have the beautiful, beautiful Olivia Franzone, who is Miss Georgetown America. And we're also going to have the author, the one and only Joe Braxton. He still has this book called Still Breathing, wonderful, amazing book. It made me cry. We're also going to have author Henrietta Hadley live on the show. So people are going to be calling in, sharing their stories. And we also have veterans that deal with issues of domestic violence while they're serving or as they're also as, you know, being a spouse and they're getting dealing with domestic violence within their house. And, you know, the military treats it kind of differently. And then, you know, men also deal with domestic violence. So we're going to go to the phone lines right now, and we're going to see if we have our wonderful guest live on the line. So stay tuned with us. Call in at 213-943-3705. Let's go to the phone line. Hello, hello. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Hello, hello. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Henrietta.
Hi, Henrietta. How you doing? We have a 443 live on the line. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. 443? Hello? Okay. We'll put that on her. Okay. So we have the beautiful Henrietta live on the line. She's a wonderful author and an advocate for domestic violence, and there are a lot of things going on right now with domestic violence. So I want to definitely give you some applause, Henrietta, because the work that you're doing is definitely amazing in your area in Michigan and Philadelphia.
Yes, I am just honored that you would pick us on your radio show.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I have actually dealt with domestic violence personally in my past marriage. So I know how it is. And people sometimes don't understand that it's not only physical abuse, it's verbal abuse and things of that nature. We're going to check and see if we have the caller live on the line. 443, are you there? Is that Olivia? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I wasn't sure if you were referring to one of your other callers.
Oh, no, I was referring to you. All right, so we have the beautiful Olivia Franzone live on the show. We're going to go give her some round of applause real quick. Franzone. So we have Olivia Franzone live on the line, and she is Miss Georgetown America, and
this
she's live on the line.
This is Georgetown, D.C., America.
Oh,
this
okay.
is Georgetown, D.C., America.
Oh, okay, all right. She is a big advocate for domestic violence, and she started a foundation, and she's doing some amazing things. So we're going to go ahead and start with Olivia, and talk to us about, you know, your story, and, you know, share with us and share how you're advocating towards bringing awareness to domestic violence.
So, as you know, I'm a domestic violence survivor, and one of the reasons why I felt compelled to start this foundation, my foundation is called Mothers Helping Mothers, is because I experienced with my domestic violence situation, I didn't have a strong support group. And some of the one of the biggest reasons that I've experienced why some women and men stay in these situations is because they don't have the resources or the monies to leave their abuser. So Mothers Helping Mothers Foundation collects resources for domestic violence survivors, and we raise funds to outsource to other nonprofit organizations that help domestic violence survivors.
Definitely. And can you are you free to share a little bit of your story and your trauma and how you were able to, you know, overcome for those listening?
Well, for me, I had a child at the time. I was a single mother, and my child was my strength. That was my motivation to want to leave the situation because I had a young son, and I said, I don't want my son to treat women this way, and I don't want him to see this and think that it's normal. I believe that when a child sees these type of things early on, when they become an adult, these are some of the things that they began to do because this is what they were taught at a young age.
Definitely. And Henrietta, can you talk to us about your advocacy and your story? Can you tell us?
Yes. I think it's a great piggyback on the story here about the children and how her strength came from her son. And like myself, my strength came in regards to my daughter. Knowing that my daughter may have witnessed or may have overheard some of the activity that her dad and I were, you know, discussing or dealing with, that was my determination to leave after I realized that I could not change her dad. And in thinking in terms of the wellness and the wholeness of my daughter, I started promises that derived out of all of the promises that I told myself that I was not going to do and all of the promises that her dad told me that he was going to do. So I used the word promises as really a reminder of all of the broken promises we make and all of the promises we need to keep in getting out of situations like this. And so promises for me has become an empowerment and an educational program for the various families that might be needing those services. We go in and we give the prevention, and we also give the ask the post domestic violence information that's needed to the families and to the children to make sure that they're okay and to make sure that they can move forward after being exposed to the trauma of domestic violence.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And you know, a lot of times we don't talk about the kids and how they're affected. Sometimes it can cause anxiety. It can cause, you know, low self-esteem, different issues, and also cause them to act out as they become adolescents. So that's another issue, you know, that is definitely out there. And we're going to go ahead and go to the phone line and see if we have a wonderful speaker live on the line with us. Joe Braxton. We have Joe Braxton live on the line. Hey, Joe. You there?
Hey, everyone. Hey, how are you, ladies? How are you?
Great. Yeah, we have the amazing Joe Braxton. He's an author. He has a wonderful book that will definitely bring you to tears.
Thank you.
Definitely, because Joe, like, talked about his strength, you know, dealing with, like, molestation and abuse and all kinds of stuff that he dealt with, and going through that and becoming stronger and helping other people. Joe, talk to us, you know, because you advocate about domestic violence and molestation, abuse, and things like that. You know, what does it mean to you when we speak about this issue?
Well, I wrote the book, so like, I'm a survivor of child sexual abuse. So the side effects of child sexual abuse is you know, you lose your self-worth, and it affects, like, your life. So you begin to get into relationships where you're treated like, you know, you're less than, you're not worthy of love, you're not worthy of being treated properly. So I've been in, like, so many abusive relationships because I didn't know what I deserved. I didn't feel like I was worth, you know, being treated properly. So I wrote the book, you know, I had enough of the depression. I had enough of, like, being treated poorly. And so I wrote the book, you know, to tell my story because men, especially men of color, they really share their stories. And so I got tired of living in shame, and I wanted to help others, you know, break free from that.
Exactly. And it's an amazing story. I have a copy of the book, and, you know, when you read the book, it's like it's almost like you're there with him, and you feel what he's going through. And I cried several times, you know. And I had to give him a hug. I just was like, I said, it's amazing. On the average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. During 1 year, it equates to more than 10 million women and men. 1 to 3 women and 1 to 4 men have been victimized, physically and emotionally abused by an intimate partner in their lifetime. And this is according to the National Society Against Domestic Violence. I mean, this is something that's happening on a daily basis, and people are dying for this. I'm going to go to a quick song, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to talk some more questions because you made a statement, Henrietta, and you said basically the broken promises, and I have a song in relating to that. You know, Pink, What About Us? And we're going to come right back, and we're going to talk more. We have the wonderful author, Joe Braxton, live on the line. We have Henrietta Hadley on the line. We have Olivia Franzoni live on the line, and we're going to come right back.
So we stop. It means the tough choices that needed to be made to preserve our way of life.
rockets pointed up at the stars. We are billions of beautiful hearts, and you sold us down the river too far. What about us?
What About Us by Pink. I brought that song up because Henrietta said something about broken promises, and, you know, me actually being a survivor of domestic violence in a marriage, you have a lot of broken promises. They say, oh, I won't do it again. You know, I was just, you know, drinking that day. Oh, I'm sorry. And you might, because you have a child or a different issue, you decide you want to basically stay in the relationship. You know, you're like, oh, you know, I want to do this for my child. I want to, maybe it'll work out, maybe he'll change, maybe that's the last time. What if, when was it enough was enough for you? Talk to us. When was it over for you? Olivia, when was it enough for you, when you couldn't take it anymore, when you decided it was time to make the exit plan?
Well, you know what? For me, I didn't even have an exit plan. It was, for me, because of the way I was raised, and my parents, you know, were pastors, and at the time I was engaged. I wasn't married yet. For me, I was like, okay, well, maybe I could just stay in this situation because I just wanted to make my parents proud. I wanted to say, okay, I have a child and I'm married. But my last, well, my breaking point for me was when I had, it was the last incident, and I ended up in the hospital. And for me, that was my breaking point. And because of that, because that happened, I wasn't able to hide it anymore. The way everything happened, I wasn't able to hide it anymore. And it was just like, okay, it's out in the open. And that was my breaking point. I knew I could not go back to that situation, and I had to do something about it. So I didn't have a exit plan or a strategy as to how I was going to live from that point forward. At that point, I didn't even care. After that happened to me, I left my abuser with two cans of formula for my son and $75. And here I am today. So, God
is wow. Wow. God bless you. Yeah,
yes.
But I'm about to bring in we have one of our street queens, Natalia Gomez. She used to be on a show with us a long time ago, and she's dealt with brutal domestic violence. And her story, she has a big story to tell today, and we're going to bring her on the line. Natalia, are you on the line with us right now? Natalia, are you there? We'll give it a second, but she's gonna tell us a big story today, and it's it's definitely going to touch some people's hearts. And for you, Joe, when was the breaking point for you?
The breaking point for me was, you know, I've gone through a lot. So I've been, you know, from being locked like down into the down in the basement, from getting my hair cut off, from, you know, physically abused, you know, mentally abused, mentally abused. I think the last straw was when I felt like I was almost, I was almost ready to die. I think it kind of hit me like, you deserve more than this. You don't deserve to go through this. And, you know, getting spit on, I think that was it for me. And I think by me, you know, sometimes you want love so bad that you would, you know, take anything or take being treated like shit, to get it. And I had to realize that, you know, as a person, you don't deserve to be treated that way. And I think it took me, you know, going to my job's emergency department, and, you know, and I guess being, put in like the psych ward, you know, because I felt like I was going crazy. I felt like, you know, it's just something wasn't right. And so that was kind of like my breaking point, being to break free from all of that. So I had to start loving myself because I didn't love myself. So, but, you know, triggers come up all the time. So you have to remember, like, I can't go back to that. Because you remember that feeling you had going through that. It's like this, it's this dark feeling that they give you, that you see in them. And it's like, wow, I can't. When you see it in someone else, you're like, oh, no, I can't go back there anymore. I remember what that felt like. So, yeah.
Exactly. And I feel where you're coming. And it's almost like sometimes, it's almost like, you know, you kind of like stop yourself. You just kind of fade to black to a point where, like, even if you get a hint that it might remind you of the past, you'll just stay away from it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and those are definitely some issues. And for you, Henrietta, what was the breaking point for you?
Well, like I said before, my 7-year-old daughter really made an impact, and I picked her up from her daycare at the time, and one of her classmates had been murdered by her dad. And when I picked my daughter up, and the school was really mourning the death of the classmate, I said to myself then, if I don't get out of the situation that I am in, Kayla and I are going to be a statistic, and this is no different from this family mourning the death of their child and my family, in this case, mourning the death of me and Kayla, because we had already been put in a family suicidal situation where the gun just didn't go off. And that was my breaking point, just for someone else to die so that me and Kayla could live.
Wow. So today we're talking about prevention, warning signs, exit plans. We have a caller from the 631. You're live on the line on Lush Radio Online. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. 631? Can you hear me? Okay. If you just want to listen, that's okay. You can call in at 213-943-3705. What were some of the warning signs for you guys? Because sometimes we get warning signs in the beginning, but we ignore them because we're so in love, especially young teenage girls or just young, and you're just in love, and everything that anybody is saying is that, you know, oh, you're a hater, you don't know what's love, this guy really loves me, he beats you, then buys you something, or beats you, or you know, makes you feel belittled. You know, it starts with control, you know, control blocking you off from everyone. So you have no way to escape, you know, discouraging you, making you feel like you're less than nothing. So you won't even have the thoughts of leaving. And sometimes you can say no and you don't want to do something, and sometimes it ends up in rape. And this is somebody that you might be married to that might force themselves on you, or you're dating and force themselves on you. Sometimes they might even stalk somebody, stalk you, you know, go through your phone to the point where you feel like you're walking on eggshells. And sometimes they might take it out, when they're done with you, they might take it out on your child, or you're scared that he might take it out on your child, so you take it in.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to put on this face and try to be strong, you know, while you're dying inside, you know. And these are, and then the mental impact, you know, the anxiety, being nervous, being scared. Soon as he walks in the door, or she walks in the door, or whoever walks in the door that's your abuser, you're jumping. You're scared. No one should live
I
like
think
that.
Once. And I think, Mo, the biggest thing, if the listeners are out there, is that if they do see some of those signs that you just brought up, because those are all red flags, that they
mm-hmm.
should always just keep some type of phone number, somebody that they can call. Right now we are at a good time with prevention, because there's so many organizations that have 1-800 numbers. There are national hotlines that you don't have to identify yourself. You just need to share what's going on. So I just would like to share with all the listeners, whether this is impacting them directly or it's impacting a family member or a friend, at least know the numbers and know the resources that are out there, so that if you can't help the individual or you can't help yourself, you can call and get help, because there is help. And I would hope tonight you would give the 1-800 number or the national hotline number, so that at least our listeners and those that are looking for answers can at least have that, so that they're equipped with the numbers. And if they don't think the numbers work, then they've got to be transparent to one person or to two persons that they can trust, that they can let them know what is going on so that they can help them. At the end of the day, you need an accountability person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE or 1-800-799-7233. I'll repeat that number again.
Thank you.
1-800-799-7233. Never feel like you're alone. There's a lot of people dealing
That's
with
right.
the same issues that you're dealing with, you know. And don't feel ashamed,
right.
because it happens in the church. Now, I'm going to just tell
yes.
you, just recently in the news, somebody from Homeland Security actually got locked up in jail for abusing his wife. He said he was dealing with so much stress at the job, and he had a top security clearance, and he was beating his wife to the point she had to be sent to the hospital at Fort Belvoir. This just happened not too long ago.
Wow.
On March 8th. So it's happening. All these people that you feel like, oh, you know, people have wear masks. They might be nice and stuff to you, but they could be a savage when they go home to their family.
Right.
You know, and then the thing about it is that sometimes abusers sometimes come from families of abusers.
Yeah.
You know, or sometimes they're dealing with insecurities about themselves and they want to feel a power. They want to be able to have power with the person that they're abusing, and they want to have control to make them feel powerful and less weak of a person. So we have these different issues that we deal with. But the thing I want to say is, for if you're dealing with it right now at this moment, make sure you have a bag ready with all your important information for your child, for yourself, anything that you need that you can just leave in a minute of a time. Make sure you have two of them. Have one ready in your car. Have one ready in the location that your abuser doesn't know about. And be able to make sure that you have exit plans and you practice with your child if that day comes when you have to go. But at the end of the day, I've seen too many women die because they refused to report it, and they stayed in there hoping that they could change the man or change the woman or change the person that they were with. and they ended up dying. And I don't want anybody to go through that. You know, no one loves you when they beat you, because there's some women that actually believe that the person loves them because they beat you. You know,
yeah.
And it shouldn't be like that. You know,
well, no type of abuse.
No type of abuse. And the thing is, like, it starts off with verbal abuse. How many of you guys dealt with the verbal abuse first? Did it start off with verbal abuse with you?
Yes.
Or was it all a mess?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
And what,
mental,
what is
emotional.
What are some of the things that you might hear from an abuser? That sometimes you guys hear from an abuser that they might say after the first attack.
Well, my abuser, he used to say, tell me that I would never be anything, you know. And I would just be on welfare for the rest of my life. That's what I would get from my abuser.
Well, I think also they also try to make you feel guilty, like it was your fault. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sometimes. Yeah, it'll never happen again, and make up, and it'll be a recurring process. So
exactly, and then sometimes, you know, it gets to a point like you can't hide it anymore. I mean, you have the physical abuse. You can try to cover it up as much as you can. Somebody's going to see that black eye. Somebody's going to see that abuse. Somebody's going to see something. And the thing is that us as people, sometimes we close our doors or act as if we don't know what's going on. Like, we can't do that. We cannot turn our backs on somebody when you hear them being abused. But recently, somebody got abused and a cop died because of that, trying to go and help the woman that was being abused. So it's a very, very tricky situation, and it's dangerous. We're going to go because we have some callers live on the line. We have a caller from 850. Is that Natalia?
Hey, what's up, Queen? How are you?
Hi, Queen. How you doing? We have Joe Braxton live on the line. We have Henrietta Hadley on the line. We have Olivia Franzoni on the line.
Yeah.
And we are talking about this domestic violence. And, Queen, you've been on here on the show with us. You know, we've done it years ago, talking about domestic violence. Tell us your story, sister.
Unfortunately, this was something that was kind of recent, since in the last couple of years, I was going through a state of prayer for a long time. You know, I was being celibate, you know, trying to work on bettering myself and just praying for God to send someone that loved him, that would love me. And I met a pastor.
It's still going.
A Sunday school teacher. And everything hit off. He would sit and talk about the Bible and discuss things. And it was a very, like, honestly, I thought, like, God had answered my prayers. And after he moved in, I come to find out that he is bipolar and was not taking medication. And on my 37th, yeah, and on my 37th birthday, this was not the first time, but it was one of the last straws that broke the camel's back. He would just react in crazy ways, and on my 37th birthday, he proceeded to basically black my eye, just literally.
Wow.
This is so hard because I don't talk about it often. Actually, my children have no idea that I went through this, because I try to always put a front. Everybody's like, you're the perfect couple. You guys are so cute together. We always, you know, on Facebook, very affectionate. But behind doors, you know, when something would trigger him, he would react very awful towards me, and verbally, physically, emotionally. And
wow.
My birthday was the first time I fought back. And, I mean, I'm thinking, like, this is my testimony. Maybe this is what God wants me to go through to prove that I really want, you know, this blessing that I thought was from God. And I remember one day on the way to church, he was going to speak at one of the churches in Daytona Beach. And I remember on the way to church, I don't know what I did, but I remember he grabbed me by the back of my hair and like slammed me into the passenger console. And wow. I was just in shock. I'm like, we're going to church. You're about to speak in front of everybody. Like, how can you put your hands on me? You know, another incident, like I said, with my birthday, it was, my blood was all, he has white leather seats in his BMW. My blood was everywhere. And it was rough, and it was the point that it was an evil spirit within me, because he never done this to anybody else. It was something within me. I was not a woman of virtue or a righteous woman. I had a demon on me that made him act this way. And it really, you know, Queen, when I tell you, I had to fake it. Nobody would know what I was going through. I hid it. I would come out my bedroom door with a smile on my face. And last New Year's Eve, he proceeded to choke me. It was getting worse and worse. And I knew that he was going to take my life. And I told him, you have to go. This, I can't pray through this anymore. I can't do it. You know, you're supposed to be a man of God. I'm in the front row at church with you. You're the deacon's right-hand man. The way you live in life. So I was praying, coming home one day from work, just praying in supplication. I said, Jehovah, please, I don't want to be one of these women trapped in this relationship. Please remove him from me, because I'm having such a hard time removing him myself. And I prayed and I cried the whole way home. I got home January 7th, 2017, and that man had packed up everything and walked out my house. And if I can't tell you that was not God stepping in, because I had begged him, please. New Year's Eve, he shoved the remote down my throat, choked me, and basically put my head in the toilet.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm a very, this is the first time I'm going public with this, because I feel a lot of, you know, a lot of, I'm ashamed. I wore that shame because everybody comes to me. Nobody would expect me to deal with that. I'm such a strong woman. People come to me for advice. I tell people run the other way. I'm so ashamed that I even dealt with it as long as I did, a year and a half, 2 years.
Wow. And Queen, you know, I gotta give you a round of applause just for you sharing that story, because I mean, I know we talked off air and you were like, this was really hard for you to come out and say that. You know, it takes a lot of strength to tell your story. Like, you know, this is a lot. You know, and you were trying to do the best to be like most moms or, you know, most parents do, to try to hide it from their kids so their kids don't have a bad impression of the person they deal with, or they don't try to see a man doing bad things to, you know, to them as a woman, you know. And it's a lot. And I commend you so much for telling your story. And, you know, and I thank God that God intervened and stepped in, you know, to remove that man from your life, because that was the devil for real, you know. And you don't deserve that, because, you know, you don't deserve that at all. And I want to definitely commend you. So, you know, Olivia, Joe, do you guys have anything to say in regards to that, what she just said? And Henrietta?
Powerful. Yeah.
Joe, are you going to go in? Because I didn't know. Joe, are you going to go in? This is Henrietta.
Hey. I was just saying, it was just really powerful. Like, I was like, wow, it's just like, because it just, you know, it brings up triggers of everything you've gone through. And, you know, it's not enough time to speak on everything, but it's like, wow, just remembering what it felt like, you know, dealing with that type of abuse. And it's like you see a demon in them. It's like you become this possessive item to them. And it's like they hate you. And it's like, it's like this love hate. And it's like they don't want. It's I don't know. It's hard to describe, but it's I'm just glad you had a chance to break free, because you know not so many people get a chance to. Many don't get a chance to. So I'm just glad you're out of that. So.
Oh, thank you.
And Henrietta.
I'm just gonna say, one, I praise God for your life, because He spared your life. And because He spared your life, you are indebted to those that are suffering in silence, because you said it. He spares you for this moment right now. So please know that God will protect you, he will guide you, and he will keep you while you go and help other men and women. Because just like you and me and the other individuals on the line, we all thought we were going through it by ourselves. And your story was my story. And I'm 20 years out. So your story was my story because we were the youth pastors of our church.
Yeah. Wow.
So just like you were going to church or that he was going to speak in front of a church was the same situation. So you were not alone. And the other thing that you said some really powerful things. You talked about mental illness. You talked about bipolar. You talked about not taking medicine. And I think that's the other thing that we want the callers to kind of zero in, that we're dealing with a lot of mental illness when it comes to the behaviors that we're discussing today, in all fairness to the other folk, that they're dealing with demons and they're dealing with issues that prevent them from getting healed, so they continue to hurt. So guess what? They hurt those that are with them.
And I
would like to let listeners and callers know, and if you're on the line, if you're moving or shuffling anything, please mute yourself if you are, because we can actually pick that up. Olivia, would you like to touch on what she just stated not too long ago? Would you like to touch on that?
You mean Natalia?
Yeah.
I will definitely. I will.
Yeah.
Well, I will say you're absolutely right, and that's a lot of. I was making excuses for that. I was joining all types of bipolar support groups because my thing was, I growing up without a father and being homeless and in and out of jail. Like, I know how it feels for people not to give you a second chance or to leave you. I felt like everybody besides my children, I don't have anybody. So I would sit there and join support groups. I would read up on all, what could be a trigger for someone, what type of bipolar, let's encourage him to go to counseling. Let's do it together. I try to be proactive because I thought that would help my relationship. But at the end of the day, he wasn't ready to help himself.
Exactly.
And he wasn't ready.
The thing is we can't change people. And Olivia, this is definitely something that's really big that she has. This is a foundation that she wants to definitely support, people that are survivors of domestic violence, prevention and things like that. And, we definitely have to raise awareness because a lot of this stuff gets swept under the rug. And also dealing with veterans and military personnel, when you're overseas and things like that, sometimes you're trapped. I had a fellow soldier that was getting locked in the house, and while he left for duty, she had to jump off the balcony just to leave, and go to an embassy. So when you're overseas, you're with somebody that can basically control if you live or die or if you ever come back home to your family, So it's a dangerous, dangerous situation. Olivia, you want to chime in?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Olivia, you there? You want to chime in?
Yes, I'm sorry. You got cut out just a tiny bit.
Okay. You want to chime in on Natalia's story?
Yes, I thought her story was very touching, and I could totally relate to her saying that she felt in a way that it was her and maybe she could do something different to change this person. I felt that same way, and that's one of the reasons why I stayed in my situation for so long. I said to myself, okay, well, maybe if I'm a little bit, my reaction to this person is a little bit more softer, or I don't show, maybe if I try to just be nicer, just try to be nicer, but I was already being nice, I put the blame on myself for so long, and that's the reason why a lot of people, you stay in this situation. You think you're the reason why they're doing these things, but a lot of the abusers, they're doing these things because they have their own issues and their own demons to deal with, and it's not even you.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I,
and we got another caller from this. Go ahead.
Go ahead. And I'm sorry, do you want to go ahead and tell? Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Lush. Well, what Miss Olivia was saying, it was a lot of times, like I said, I was trying to make excuses and understand the illness. And I felt it was me that, you know, maybe someone gave him that chance. You know, and there was times that he would hurt me so bad. And by the time everything went down, the physical aspect, I was the one holding him, consoling him while he was crying about his mommy and daddy issues. And I would sit there and be like,
yes.
How the hell am I holding you, consoling you, when you just, when my back turned, sitting on the bed, you turned around and whipped me with a charger cord because you didn't like something I said 5 minutes before that. It was,
wow.
I have PTSD, and it has made my PTSD. I was raped when I was 15. That's how I lost my virginity. So I already have issues that I'm dealing with. And this relationship has, how do you even say it in English, like accelerated, made my pee. Like I can't, you touch me, I'm jumping. If you come in behind me in a room, I'm jumping. I am, without even realizing, you know, trying to defend myself because I feel like someone's going to hurt me or do something to me. And people are like, relax, even at work, it's embarrassing how much this has affected me.
Yeah.
Exactly. And sometimes you leave it dormant because I've dealt with like rape and MST and things of that nature. And I kept it dormant. And it's just recently I started talking about the issues and dealing with the abuse and the anxiety and the jumpiness. And it's like, I can relate to everything you're saying because it happened to me and everybody that's on here, it's happened to them. Like, no one is alone here. We've all dealt with abuse in different ways. And so I blame myself, you know, sometimes, but it got to a point where enough was enough. He tried to choke me. He tried to put his hands on me, and I beat the living crap out of him. I had to remember who I used to be before I got into this relationship, and I beat the living crap out of him and let him know I do not no more. It's over. We do got a caller live on the line. From 718, you're live on the line on Lush Radio Online. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. 718.
Hi, my name is Leela.
Hi,
Leela.
How you doing?
Hello. Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. I'm calling from Brooklyn, and I wanted to just, you know, expound on what you guys are talking about. I am a domestic violence survivor myself. I was in a very bad 4-year relationship when I was a teenager. I was just entering college, and my abuser also had mental illness. Eventually, at the end of everything, we found out that he had schizophrenia. And for 4 years, I was put through basically hell on earth. So anything from being kicked, bitten, I was bitten in public, kidnapped. And I was a college student at the time. I mean, he would hold me hostage in his house so that I could not go to school or to work. And we really don't talk about how, you know, we don't talk about domestic violence sensitivity in the workplace, because there's a lot of things that happen in domestic violence situations where people may not be able to show up for work. People may not be able to function in school, but people also may not be able to tell you what's going on with them. And I lost a job because of it, because I wasn't able to make it to work on time, because there was four times where he held me hostage and four times I was late, you know, or I failed a class. I failed the classes because of him, because he would not let me go to school. So there are things like, you know, long term I've been affected by it, but you know, I really want people to understand, especially if you're an employer, you know, employers should really be able to get training to identify the signs of domestic violence. Also, you know, after that ordeal, after I was able to finally leave, I was able to get away. I literally had to leave my family, my whole life, everything. And I moved from Brooklyn out to Long Island, and I started a new job, a new career, all of that stuff. But what people don't really understand is that once you leave an abuser, like, your trauma does not end. You start to attract people still. If you don't deal with the unresolved issues, you still attract people who may not be physically abusive, but who might be mentally abusive or spiritually abusive because you haven't dealt with those unresolved issues. So mental health is huge. I'm a huge advocate of, you know, seeking out mental health. I teach meditation. I teach yoga. That's what I do. I have an organization that's dedicated to domestic violence awareness. It's called Hunks for Hope. And we have a yearly calendar featuring male models. And, you know, I do a lot of advocacy with my models. We go out and we speak to the general public, the community. And we do meditation, yoga. We teach self-defense because anxiety, PTSD, all of these issues can be resolved through dealing with underlying trauma. And that's best dealt with through meditation. And through, you know, whatever it is, meditation, sometimes for some people, medication, you know, although I'm not a big advocate of medication, but, you know, that's why I try to do things holistically with people. But sometimes holistically doesn't work for some people. Not everybody is the same. So,
exactly.
So, you know, we just try to, I'm sorry.
No, but I just want to thank you so much for calling in because I talked to her on Instagram, and she's doing some amazing things against, you know, domestic violence in New York, and definitely I want you guys to support what she has going on. And also, Olivia, we have you on the phone. Could you give your organization, because I know you have to jump off, can you give your organization so people can contact you and check you out?
The name of my organization is called Mothers Helping Mothers.
And where can they find you on social media?
You can follow me at Olivia Franzoni on Instagram.
Definitely, definitely. We appreciate you so much for coming on, you know, supporting advocacy on domestic violence. And I think this is definitely a big topic that, you know, there's a lot of different things. I mean, from the children that are affected from it, you know, teenagers, adults. You know, this is a big issue, and we have to definitely advocate for it. In the D.C. metropolitan area, there are some organizations that I can give you numbers to. Domestic Violence Intake Center, and that is 1328 Southern Avenue Southeast, Suite 311. The phone number is 202-561-3000. The National Network to End Domestic Violence, 1325 Massachusetts Avenue, Northwest, on the 7th floor. The phone number is 202-543-5566. And then we have the D.C. Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and that is 5 Thomas Circle, Northwest. And the phone number is 202-299-118981. So definitely, you know, and we also have to give out the national number once again. And we'll do that later, but I want you guys to put out, you know, your information on what you guys are doing via advocacy and where they can find you guys out at, and, you know, what you guys are doing and how people can get involved. Henrietta, can you tell us what you're doing out in your area? I know you wrote a book telling stories about different women and their experiences and stuff.
Well, I wrote a book called Project We Are Free. You can get that on Amazon, or you can invite me into your community or your organization to do some book signing and talk about the stories. There's about 8 stories that talk about all types of trauma, from domestic violence to age discrimination to color discrimination to anything you can think of that females go through. It is laid out in this book. And again, it's Project We Are Free, and you can get that on Amazon, at Amazon. And then you can find me on LinkedIn under Promises Programs or Henrietta Hadley. You can use my first and last name on Gmail, on Instagram, and on Facebook. And I'm available to come out and speak. I love to do panel discussions, and we also have a one-woman play that kind of depicts all of the different phases and flags that come up in a domestic violence or intimate violence relationship. So just let me know how I can be a part of the solution. And thank you, Mo, for
definitely,
this opportunity.
Definitely. Thank you so much. And also, Joe, talk to us and tell us, you know, the book is amazing. You know, talk to us and tell us about the things you're doing, and keep the listeners informed.
Okay. Hey, so I'm Joe Braxton. You can find me on Instagram at TheJoeBraxton. The book page is Still Breathing Book. You can order the book, which has touched so many lives. You can't imagine the type of testimonies I've been receiving because of the book. You can order the book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and Kindle. And it's on Kindle. You can also order it off my website, thejoebraxton.com. So, I mean, I've been doing, like, a lot of advocacy for, you know, sexual abuse victims. I guess trying to raise awareness for, you know, men, because it's in this time, I guess, around in this country, you have the Time's Up movement, the Me Too movement. And we also have to raise importance for men, too, because there's a lot of men who are suffering and miserable because they're afraid to tell their truth because they're living in shame. So I'm trying to be that voice, you know, to try to let men know that they're not alone in this. So, I mean, also, I have like a few people who they have their nephews or brothers. They're young, and they're going through, you know, they were molested or sexually abused or something, and they just need somebody to talk to that they can trust. And so I listen to, you know, a lot of, you know, different people's, you know, testimonies or stories. And I'm like the only person that they shared it with. And I'm not a therapist or anything. Like I said, I will listen to you, because some people just need a good listening ear. And it helps them, you know, let it release it, because you need to release it in order to live. Because, you know, it took me over 20-something years to release my story, and it was so detrimental to my life. So I try to let them know that they must release that in order to live. And I guess that's about it right now.
Definitely. And they can purchase the book where?
Yeah.
Joe?
It's on Amazon.com, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and it's on Kindle. And like I said, I'm also doing speaking engagements now. So I'm just trying to get the word out that, like I said, men go through this too. So.
Definitely. Still Breathing. Definitely touched my heart. I cried like for three
still
days.
Breathing.
Still breathing.
And also, when you say that,
there's
been a lot of men who've shared the same thing. They said, "Wow, you had a grown man crying." So
for real.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw you, I had to give you a hug. Like, I was like, "Oh my God!"
Oh yeah.
You know? Like, because if you see Joe, he's always happy. He looks happy and everything. You would not even think that he went through something like this.
But you know, I relate that to you because I know I just got finished seeing A Wrinkle in Time, and
mm-hmm.
I can relate to that movie so much. You know, I've even through my darkness, I was a light carrier. So I still tried to, you know, extend light to the world. Because I never
mm-hmm.
want anyone to feel like I felt. So like Wrinkle in Time is a good movie, and like I said, it I can relate to it. And you just have to share, like, spread light into the world. Like, that's I think that's what helped me. That's what helped to keep me going in life. So, without giving
Definitely.
Up. So, I almost went to the point where I almost gave up, and that's why my book's title is Still Breathing, How to Regain Your Life After Being Robbed. So.
Exactly. And Hunks for Hope, tell us about that, and tell us what's going on with you guys over there.
Oh, awesome things. We're doing awesome things. Right now we're working out of the community of Brooklyn, and we've been working with
mm-hmm.
the YWCA. In 2016, we got an award from them for outstanding organization. And I think that, you know, what's really important, we talk about domestic violence survivors, but I think someone touched on it before, the abusers as well need some help. They need assistance. Because what happens is
mm-hmm.
when a domestic violence survivor leaves the abuser is just there to go ahead and do it to somebody else. And we need more healing.
Mm-hmm.
And as Joe was saying, you know, when it comes to men, right now Hunks for Hope is really working to try to run a campaign to get men to tackle their trauma, because there's no outlet for it. There's no communication. people are just holding on to trauma, and it needs to be released. It needs to be dealt with. So that's one of the things that we're doing right now. We've been working with, you know, big companies like UPS and things like that, just to talk about domestic violence and get the awareness out there in the workplace. So, you know, the future looks very bright for domestic violence advocacy as far as prevention. But, you know, as far as the trauma itself, that's something that we specifically want to deal with. And we work with two grassroots organizations, Casa Esperanza and Milagros Day Worldwide. They have amazing programs. Casa Esperanza deals with domestic violence survivors who are also HIV positive, because there is a correlation between domestic violence and STDs. If your partner is forcing you to have sexual intercourse with them, more than likely they're not putting on a condom before they do that. So they deal with prevention of STDs and managing STDs, and also just healthcare in general. And the Milagros Day really tackles the trauma, dealing with the trauma. They take these women out on retreats once a year, and they have something called a Transformation Academy, where you really develop a sisterhood between women, because we need that. I mean, there's so many times where we're tearing each other down as women. We need to be building each other up, and this really forms a true family for people, people who maybe, you know, they never really considered their own flesh and blood their family because of what they've been through.
Wow.
So it really, you know, we're really dealing with the healing aspect of it, because remember, everything that happens in your life, everything that you do, it affects seven generations down the line. So if you're dealing with trauma right now, guaranteed it's affecting any offspring that you have, any children that you have. So you want to deal with the trauma so that you can at least help your children and their children. And you know what I'm saying? It's just developing and fostering healthy habits and coping strategies. So that's what we're focusing on right
Definitely.
Now.
And how can they check you out on social media?
Oh, you can check us out. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook, Hunks, the number 4, Hope. And you can check out our website, Hunks, the number 4, Hope.com. You can contact us through there. We have a list of, you know, signs of domestic violence. If you're not sure if you're in a domestic violence relationship, if you need help, you can always contact us. We have lots of resources. We help people leave their abusers all the time. And we offer, like I said, meditation, yoga, and just being able to deal with trauma in general.
Definitely. And so I wanted, there's still a caller on the line from 631. Caller 631, you're live on the line. Did you want to chime in? 631? Okay. So, Natalia, I just want to tell you I love you, sister. You know, I love you, queen. And, you know, what you dealt with was a lot. And, you know, I continue to pray for you. And that was only God that intervened on that situation. And I continue to just say, you know, continue being blessed. And, you know, God is going to bring the right person in there. But now it's just internal healing and stuff, because it took a lot for you to just let that out. So I'm proud of you, sis, for real.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. I've taken the last year to basically, you know, I'm a full-time student. I'm almost 40. I went back to school because, you know, I've always been with the kids and volunteering in their schools. And, you know, I'm focused on bettering myself, getting past the situation, healing. I know I'm not ready for a relationship. I have too much trauma that I would bring in. And, you know, you queens and kings on the radio tonight, you know, you definitely had very positive things and things that people need to understand and realize, especially with the mental illness factor. And it's these, a lot of people, like she said, the abuser, you know, the victim leaves, but the abuser still has to deal with the trauma in their lives. And that was one thing, you know, I still pray for my ex, because, you know, I hope, I don't wish ill feeling against him, but I pray he gets the help that he needs, because he will never be happy, you know.
Well, that's real talk. And, you know, like I said, I hope from everyone that you take from this is that, you know, domestic violence can happen anywhere and everywhere. And it can happen from young to old, and it can affect children. And the abusers are suffering from different issues also. And we have to find the core of it, and we have to have prevention, and we have to work together. so we can save lives. No one should die because of domestic violence. No one should be scared, you know. Domestic violence is defined as violence or aggressive behavior within the home, typically involving the violent abuse of a spouse or a partner, you know, and it could be anybody. So just be careful, be aware, have an exit plan, and understand you are stronger than you think you are. No one should ever be feeling like this ever in their life. So like I said, you know, be strong. And remember, you're not alone. And I just want to tell you that I love you. And then sometimes you feel like people don't understand because it hasn't happened to them. This is a Lady Gaga song. And you know what? I don't do it for me. I do it for you. We are the people's voice. Your girl, Leshy Lesh, live in the building. Motivational Mondays, each and every Monday, with your girl, Emma E2K. And I'm on here Fridays from 7 p.m. talking about world news, gossip, celebrity interviews, and topics that affect our community and around the world. So definitely stay tuned. It's your girl, Leshy Lesh, and I just want to thank you all for calling in and doing an amazing job and bringing all this awareness to the people out there in our listener community. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, and I bid you adieu till it happens to you. And we're out. Peace. So that happens to you, you know, that's happening now.
You tell me it gets better in time. You say I pull myself together, pull it together, you'll be fine. Tell me what the hell do you know, what do you know? Tell me how the hell could you know?
Let me tell you about a girl that I used to be. Same name, same face, but a different me. She didn't know what she was thinking. Didn't know her world was sinking. Had her dreams written on a paper in her hand. Held on tight, but she didn't understand. The loving heart that she's replacing. All the past that she's erasing. To the girl who's thinking, sinking down to the world that awaits below, and I don't wanna be there anymore, don't wanna be there anymore, no, and we all get lost sometimes, and we forget who we are, and we forget who we are, somewhere along the way, we're all running in a crazy race.
Broken and bruised. 'Cause now I'm a warrior.
So remember that you don't have to be alone, and you're not alone. God has your back, and there are other people that are dealing with the same things you're dealing with. So remember who you were before you got into that relationship, that strong, powerful person that you were. I want you to bring up that strength, and I want you to be able to have the ability to leave that situation you're in, because no one should have to go through that. And I pray for you, I pray for your children, and I pray for all that who are out there dealing with whatever they're dealing with, you know. And remember that, you know, when you come from all of that and you heal and you become a badass that they can't even deal with, don't be sorry, because you're not sorry, because you're doing better and you are going to be better. And I'm going to continue to pray for you. And that's why I got to play Demi Lovato, not sorry, because I ain't sorry, because I'm healing.
Baby, I'm a baddest.
Go!
Now I'm out here looking like revenge, feeling like a 10, the best I ever been. And yeah, I know how bad it might hurt to see me like this, but it gets worse. Now you're out here looking like regret, and so proud to beg, second chance you'll never get. And yeah, I know how bad it might hurt to see me like this, but it gets worse. Now payback is bad chicken, baby, I'm the baddest. I'll play it with a savage, can't have this, can't have this.